As you are seated, I want to welcome you this morning to Open Arms Church. We have been in the midst of a series from the book of Colossians. And right now, we've broken out four verses over the last 2 weeks, today and next week, what God's plan is for the family. You can turn to the back of your program and take a look at the verse we'll be looking at today, and its sister verse from Ephesians chapter 6. But we can read together. You'll notice the verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. There you go. You have a parent with five kids over there. Most of them are out of the house. You know, if I had a mic, you know what I do right now? Just, you know, drop and walk off, and that's it. I think Pastor Josh and Pastor Kevin kind of alluded to that as they shared their one verse the last few weeks. Back in seminary, I read the autobiography of William Booth, General William Booth, the foundation, the founder of the Salvation Army in England. He had a real heart for underprivileged children. And there was one young man who he had seen pass through the little missions that he was involved in, who went on to live a pretty terrible life. He was raised in the slums of England, an abused, neglected child. His name was John Starkey. John ended up murdering his parents, his own wife, and a child. And it was a heinous crime. And he was tried, he was convicted, and he was executed. William Booth was asked to officiate his funeral. And as he gathered in that place, the crowd was very disruptive. Many very upset that this man, John Starkey, was about to be given a Christian burial. And as William stood up, he opened up his message by saying, John Starkey never had a praying mother nor a father who ever shared with him a promise of God's verses in his word. The crowd was silenced. Personal conviction came upon many in that room. Today, as we look at this verse in particular, I have observed in my years as a Christian, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, I myself have been guilty of using this verse or similar verses almost as a club towards children who may be disruptive or just not responding. Obey me. Obey your parents. You know, the Bible says that. God says that. Did you hear me? Obey. Oh, there's another verse that talks about don't, you know, shout and yell and parents. We're not going to do that. We ought not to do that. And so as we look at the Word of God today, hopefully as parents, God will help us. And as children, maybe you live in your parents' home. God will help you. A number of years ago, a foreman on a construction site asked those who were working, bricklayers, carpenters, and other skilled people, says, what are you doing here? What has you here this morning? Responses were, well, I'm making a living. I'm paying the bills. I'm planning for my next vacation. I'm building a cathedral for God. What? And there was one man whose response startled the construction supervisor, and he says, we're not building a church. He goes, I know, but in my mind, I go about every project, no matter what it is, as if I'm building a cathedral for God. So that when things go wrong, or whatever my responsibilities are on the job, I'm doing it carefully, precisely, with intentionality, that God would be so honored and so pleased with my work, with what I'm doing here, that he would just simply say, well done. I read that years ago, and that just stuck with me because I think about that as a parent. How do I approach the responsibility, the work? And it is work. How come I'm not getting any amen there? To raise children well. To honor God in their raising. And there are so many, just like in building a project, a building, there are so many minute, tedious, laborious, having to go back and fix things in parenting. And yet, there's something in our attitudes. There's something in our approach to that. If we will but look at that as a stewardship from God, this incredible opportunity, recognizing, oh my goodness, this child is from Him. He has given me the opportunity to invest in them, to speak into them the promises of God, the truth of God, and then for them to see with such clarity an example of the very promises and the truth they're learning in our home, through our conversation, in our church, the things that we're teaching. And we're not going to do it perfectly, but you've heard me say before, that's one of the greatest testaments of the gospel, when we as a parent who has blown it, to go to our children and say, I have blown it. What I did and how what I said or how I modeled was wrong. This was the right way. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me, child. Is that not the gospel? Is that what not Jesus Christ has done for us? Well, that's all part of it. And so as we look into our text this morning, both parents and children. Now, right now, the major instruction is going to be for a child. Parents, we welcome you to come back next week. We're taking inventory. You better be back next week. We're going to give everybody an opportunity. No, and this is not, I mean, is this hard? It's hard when it might be new or when we forget the grace of God. You know, we have a nature and it is self-protective. It is selfish. But in Christ, we've got a new nature, a new creation, and it's selfless. It's looking to honor God, and there's desires that have shifted. And it's, Lord, I want to do what you want to do. And then he says, and in your family, then, this is how you navigate wives and husbands, children and parents. So don't ever forget God's grace as you look at these verses and look to apply them to your life. And help others who are looking to apply them to their life. So let's take a look at this verse this morning again. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And it's sister verse from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And this is a quote now from the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So what's the first point? The first thing that we see here, there's a mandate. Children, there is a mandate. What is it? Obey your parents. The word children comes from the word techna. There's many words God could have used as he spoke to us. And he uses the word that speaks of any child, despite the age, who's living in the home of their parents, which has them under authority of their parents. And so that's the word he uses here. So children, yes, the 1 and 2 year old, the 12 year old, and the 20 year old who may be living under your home, he's speaking to you. Now if you're 26, 27, and you're living in your parents' home, and you're not working, come see me after the service, we're gonna have a conversation about that and what God says to encourage you, to help you in those kinds of things. Now, if it's a timeout, if it's a season for that, that's okay too. But he's speaking to any child who's living in a home where parents or a parent are there. He's saying, this is for you. It's a mandate. The word obey comes from another word that we may or may not be familiar with. Hupa kueto, which hupo means to come under, and akuo means to hear, with the intent to understand and listen. So obey means to, children, come under. This is the mandate. Come under with an attitude to hear, to listen, to fully understand what that one is saying who has authority over you. With a response. Wait, you're already coming with the attitude to respond favorably. I mean, there's a switch in that, right? I mean, we have to adjust. Children, we have to adjust. And as we walk through this simple verse this morning, every one of us who are a child of God, and you know you're a child of God not because you were born in a Christian family, not because you're here today in church, not because maybe you've been immersed or baptized or participated in the Lord's Supper. None of that makes us a child of God. Those are great things that a child of God does. But a child of God is a child of God because you've heard a calling on your life, a whisper, a shout from the Lord Jesus himself and says, I'm calling you to surrender, to life, to obedience. What I did on the cross was for you. Will you bow? Will you surrender your heart to me as Lord and Savior? And at some point and at some time, that message was clear to you. And you simply yielded and acknowledged. And you said, thank you for saving me. Almighty God, forgive me for my sin and my rebellion. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. And you fill in your name. That's good news. That's impossible news. What mercy, what grace. And you've moved forward. God says, I make you a child. You don't make yourself a child. I make you a child, and you responded. And then we have a responsibility to follow him as he is our heavenly Father. Just like children today, if you're living in the home of your parents, you have a responsibility. Do children have rights today? It seems to be a buzz thing in our community, in our society, because many parents are negligent, even abusive. Do children have rights? Yes, they have rights. Children also have a responsibility. And the greatest one and the first one, the foremost one, is obey your parents. So Scripture tells us to come to that place, and it's a command. You know, a few weeks ago when we looked at the word submit, there's a choice there. Woman who gets married, she has a choice. Under Christ, I am coming to be married, under God, and this is his instruction. For a man, there's a choice there. I'm coming to be married, and part of that commitment and covenant is I die to myself. Her. Children, they don't have a choice. They're born into the family, and God commands, obey. But what God commands, God gives help and grace to live out. And if you're in this room today and you are a child of God, please, do you know the same responsibility and accountability is to us? It's to me as a child of God. A mandate for me to obey him. A mandate for you as a child of God to obey him. So, children, listen with attentiveness to understanding what your parents are saying and to follow with a positive, and can I say this, an immediate response. It was so helpful for Danielle and I. A number of years ago, we both came from good homes, solid homes. But the raising and those kinds of things, as our parents did the best they could. But in those formative years, they did not know Jesus. They did not walk in the scriptures. They probably parented the best they could from what they learned from their parents, what was modeled there. And as they grew up, they said, oh, we're not going to do that, and we're not going to do that. And there we had that similarity of how we were raised. And so as we came to Christ, and as we were married, we said, what do we need to shift? How are we going to figure this out? We're so thankful for the Word of God. But others who had written or done videotape teachings, and we just absorbed ourselves because we had this holy fear. We need to get this right. This is a stewardship. And we would pray and we would study and we would shut off the TV. And we would just do whatever we needed to prepare ourselves. And there was one particular study called Growing Kids God's Way that said something to us. I said, right in my own heart, I said, that speaks to me. And it said, God expects first-time obedience. For me, And we ought to train and teach our children first-time obedience. Imagine how many arguments would be diminished if we were to gaze into the eyes of our children. See, a lot of commands, a lot of instruction we give to them, we're shouting it from another room. We're saying what we know in our mind, we know what we mean, but do they really know what we mean? Their minds are not the same as ours. Their intellect and their reasoning capability are not the same. God says, get in their grill, in their face, in a kind way, in a gentle way. Help them remove the distractions. Say, I want to share with you. I want to talk with you. Here's what I mean by that. Do you understand? Speak it back to me. It's like going through the drive-in, right? Here, I want to order this, this, and this, and they come back and say, oh, you want 7 of these and 9 of those? You go, what? No, that's not what I said. And you repeat it again and again until you get it right. First-time obedience. Helping our children to understand this is not, we're not reasoning here. We're not, this is not a negotiation. Because when we start that at a young age, at 4, at 6, at 7, at 12, we've trained them. Oh, it's not what, I'm not to do what they said the first time. This is my cue to negotiate. To show my skills in twisting and turning and helping them understand what my life is really like and what I really need from them. God says, be careful. Train up your child to obey what you say the first time, just like God says, that's what I expect of you. When I speak to your heart and I give you understanding, I expect you to respond to me the first time. And you and I know if we don't, it often doesn't go well. Does he say, oh, I was just kidding. Go ahead, do what you want. He doesn't. He says, I'm going to still get in your grill. And then one of these days, yeah, it's going to be a swat. And I'll have your attention then. That's part of loving our children. It's part of obedience in that, obeying God in that. So the first mandate, children obey who? Parents. Parents. The ones whom God has given stewardship and oversight of your life. Kids, I'm telling you, if you're of that age, God has given them that authority. God has said, I've placed him in your life to have this role, to raise you. And it's a good thing. Embrace it, parents. It's a pleasure. It's an incredible thing. One of our families just had a child this week. I don't know if they were here. Danny and Katie said they may be here this morning. Is Charlotte here? O'Leary's here this morning. Maybe couldn't make it. But you know what they're doing right now? She's on that bed, and they're looking at her, and they're saying, oh, my, she's perfect. She's so beautiful, and she's wonderful. I know the scripture says we're all born with a sin nature, but no, not for Charlotte. She's the perfect child. And then Katie, who's born, she's a pastor's kid, and she goes, well, honey, that means, Jesus was the only one, and we're saying Charlotte's the only other one? Oh, so maybe not. See, one day, Charlotte, she's gonna be well-fed. She's going to have rest. Mommy and daddy are going to have played with her. Her diaper will be changed. All her needs will be met. And she's just going to still go and wah, wah, wah. And they're going to be saying, come on, kid. Everything's taken care of. But somewhere along the line, Charlotte learned. When she goes, wah, wah, wah. Somebody's a-coming a-running. Oh, what's the matter, sweetie? What can I do for you? What do you need? She's going, I like this. So I whine. I defy. I just give up a little tantrum, and they come around. Because, it's all about me. At some point, as we walk through that, children are not to be the center of the family. They are a welcome addition to the family. It's a circle. If God's given you one child, wonderful. But you know where the family starts? Husband, wife, you're the family. There are instructions. There is care there. And if he gives you a child, he goes, oh, we've expanded it, and I have instructions for that as well. And he gives you more, yeah. But who's always at the center? Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look to him. And parents, you know it. When you lean into the parent, Heavenly Father, you've got the help that you need. with your children. So children, obey your parents. Let's take a look at the second. Well, what's the measure? What's the measure? In everything. The sister verse says, in the Lord, obey in everything. Not only what pleases you, child. Girls, come on up. Come upstairs. I'm not hearing pitter-patter. I gave an instruction. I think it's pretty clear. Get up from whatever you do and come upstairs. Girls, I've made you an ice cream sundae. Vroom! Wow. See, Dad, first time obedience. You know, even with us, we obey what we like. Oh, I like that. 3 weeks ago, husbands were going, yeah, good verse, huh, honey? Yeah, first time obedience for that one. And last week, they were going, yeah, honey, first time obedience on that one. God says, children, in everything. But also says, in the Lord. Because here's what God requires. He says, children, yes, your parents are the authority that I've given on this earth for you. But if your parents would ever guide you, speak to you, command you, lead you to do something, say something, be someone that defies my instruction, that's the pass that I give to you to step back and with honor and respect and say, Mom and Dad, I can't do that. Far be it from me to obey you and defy God. And his word says this, and it shows me this, and I need to obey him. And unfortunately, when we, you and I look at the culture that we live and we see the breakdown of it and we see the disruption and the chaos and the hurt, the abuse and the wounds, we can understand without the Lord and just people following this world system and its culture, we know scripture says who's behind that. But can I tell you, in the Christian home, many of you here today would define who you are and how you live in a Christian home. There's been a breakdown. And when we as parents are not chewing on, looking to understand God's word and living it and applying it first time, but we're cutting and pasting things, what a heavy yoke, a confusing yoke that is to put on our children who are trying to navigate the world. And yet in that home, there are not those principles lived out consistently with honesty and where you know, the message that's being heard, the life that's being seen is not clear and consistent. For Christians, for young children who are being taught and trained in the ways of the Lord, there's a confusion there. There's a stumbling opportunity we're putting in their place. And that's why parents, as we look to train up our children, God says, and you can't neglect yourself. The full measure of what I've said. Yourself as my child. Obey in everything what I've given to you, because children catch more than what they're taught. You can teach. Many of you are teachers. But when you model, when you live it, what you're teaching, they get to see it. They get to observe it. Aha. And then you get to talk about it all the time without feeling guilty, without the hypocrisy. Because they pick up on that. They get that. They know that. And many of our children, because they do know Christ and they love Christ, they're not going to come at you and tell you you're a hypocrite to your face. But in their heart, they see it. They know it. They're discouraged. They're confused. So, the measure is in everything in the Lord. God requires that. Let's take a look at a few verses from the Gospel of Luke and Acts chapter 5. They'll come up here. You know, here Jesus speaking. And this will blow your mind. You've read this, I'm sure. And you maybe have done some study because it shocked you. It stopped you in your tracks and you're going, say what? The Prince of Peace? What does he say? And this is the context of the very thing we're talking about. That Jesus was walking in the midst of people who were raised in a religious culture, looking at the commands of God, But there was such a legalistic approach to those commands. The heart of God, the understanding of a relationship with God, and a transparent, yielded, honest heart before God, that was not what was being taught. And it was rules and regulations and follow our religion, which that day, the pure religion that God had established was Judaism. And it had become warped and twisted by many of its leaders. And in the midst of them, here's what Jesus said. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother-in-law. Against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And it would go on to say in chapter 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Did you pick up? What's the word that stands out to you there? Does he have your attention? You know what he means by that? See, the Hebrews in his midst, they understood. He's saying, if you do not love less, because what's the commandment? Who gave us the commandment in Exodus 20, verse 12? Honor your mother and father. Jesus himself, the word who became flesh. Almighty God, the Spirit of God. He's not now saying, throw it out. He's saying, but I need you to hear something. I'm God in the flesh. I take priority. Look to me, listen to me. Follow me. You need in your own heart, in a way, you have to come. You can't put them above. There's no other authority. And if whether you're 5, 15, 50, or 85 in this room, that's what God still says stands. I am your authority. Yield to me, look to me. I have to be number one. Many a child have had to defy their parents to testify of their faith in Jesus. When their parents said, no, I don't want you turning to him, going to him, leaning on him. But children have defied for generations and turned to Jesus. Many a child as they grew defied their parents by being married in the faith with someone else who was in Christ. Their parents saying, no, I don't approve. I prefer this or prefer that. And that's an example. Some simple ones. What the scripture would teach us. So the measure is in everything in the Lord. So why is it best, children, to obey your parents in everything? Because we're awesome. I should have heard at least one amen. I know there's one here. I sent the other one away. Well, no. Maybe we're not always awesome. But the next one tells us there is one who is awesome. And we ought to obey our parents who aren't perfect because it's well-pleasing to the one who is perfect. Look at that, the motive. For this pleases the Lord. The sister verse says, for this is right. That expression, this pleases the Lord, comes from a word that means it's commendable to him. It's deserving of a certificate of commendation. It's like a medal. I mean, it's an interesting thought. God says, it's like, child, every time you obey your parents, I, God, who knows all things and sees all things, it's like, oh, man, I want to pin a medal on you. I want to give you a certificate. That's what that word means. He sees it. He knows it. Got 100 on that one. And even times when your parents are instructing and guiding you, maybe not in the best way, maybe not with great clarity, but because you're obeying the Lord, you've put him first, you're going to obey with a good attitude and a yielded countenance, you're going to feel an affirmation in your heart at a girl, at a boy. Well done. That's what this is saying. It's well-pleasing to him. And your parents may not even grasp that and have a clue. They may not even know Christ. But if you, child, do, God says, that's the motive. It's pleasing to me. It's right. That means it's correct. It's just. It's the way that it should be, children. God's saying, I have a plan. I've always had a plan for you, for the family. And all these other voices are saying, no, 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 that's old-fashioned. That's not relevant for today. And God says, and see how that's working out in the family, in society, in the workplace. He says, I've always had a plan. And when it's followed, there's a promise. There's something that I want to do in your life because I have a plan and I have a purpose. And it's there for you. And as you seek me and as you come to my word and apply these things, you'll be living it. And that leads us to the next, the promise. So we get the mandate, the measure, the motive. Sorry, those of you who are looking for that M to start that. I was looking. I spent too much time looking for the M. I could not find it. And I'm more OCD than you are. But it's the promise. It's a promise. It's right here. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. That word honor is different than obey. It means, and this is for any of us in this room, your parents still with you? Adults? You can be saying, John, you don't know my parents. They are a mess. It doesn't say honor them because they got it all going on. There are ways you can honor them, even if I don't have it all going on. God will teach you that. Jesus was our example. He honored authorities on this earth in a certain way, in a respectful way, in a yielded way. Because it pleased the Father, it honored the Father. It was part of God's plan for him to do that. That's incredible to me. Jesus, man, why didn't you just exert your authority? Speak him out, watch him, you know, get rid of him. A lash, whatever. I've got this movie in my mind that I just saw with my daughter just recently. So it's like, you know, hey, you could take care of all of that. You don't need 6 rings or jewels or whatever they are. You're God. But he didn't. And he honored some folks who didn't deserve honor. So it's saying, it doesn't matter if they deserve it. God's saying, are you my child? I will give you grace and power to respond to them in a certain way. You may not agree with them. He says, it's a different word than obey, but honor. It means to value them, their position highly. Your parents have a position, whether they lived out well or not. God gave them that position. And he put them in them, an egg and a seed. And he says, I am giving them this opportunity. For that purpose alone, honor them, defer to them, respect them. It's sort of like yielding and deferring in your heart. It's like bowing down to them, you know, in their heart, like their majesty or something. It's that picture there. And too often, and even especially with younger children, they can do that externally because of who they are and their personalities, the people-pleasing child. But inside, they are raging. Their fists are clenched. God says, that's not honoring either. And you're looking to do it on the outside, but on the inside, there's anger and there's frustration. He says, I will help you to do that. He says, but when you honor your father and mother, there is a promise for you. He's saying, there is something that I will see to will happen in your life. And what is it? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's saying, when you get that, when you learn this principle, every one of us, of obeying the authority I've set over in you, when you honor the authorities I've placed in your life, when you learn to do that, you are on a track. You are on a treadmill. You are on a conveyor belt that for the rest of your life, there will be those authorities that I have set over you. There will be teachers. There will be employers, bosses. There will be law enforcement officials. There will be spiritual leaders that I will place over you. And when you recognize and you honor those because you learned it from a child, things will go well in your life. That will be noticed. And there will be favor that I will give you in your life. Many of us may be sitting in this room and we're going, oops, I missed that. And so I've made some pretty poor decisions. And the consequences of the situation that I'm in very well could go back 10 years or 20 years or decades longer because I did not listen. I did not value the insight, the wisdom, the instruction of my parents. And it's not gone very well for me. And there are challenges and there are repercussions. But can I tell you today, if you're an adult and that's your situation, grace, grace, grace. You can have God's help now in those consequences when you say, oh, Lord, I've been blaming everybody. But accepting responsibility and accountability that, well, maybe I didn't know you. Maybe I did know you, but I neglected and I ignored you. Forgive me, God. I confess that. Oh, give me mercy on that. You know what? He will. And I'll say, okay, now I'll give you a wisdom and insight to reset the course to help you now. That's what it's all about. Redemption and reconciliation. Any moment, any part of the day, any season of life that you and I may be in. And that's good news. So he says, children, it will go well with you. The quality and even the quantity of your life will be extended. And it'll be full. It won't be perfect. But there'll be something about that life that you can enjoy. That will be satisfying. Because there will be a peace in relationships. First and foremost with you and I. And with those, the track record that you have. Were you, starting with your parents, obeyed with a good heart? And that taught you to obey and honor the teacher. And it went pretty well in the classroom, even though you may not have been a brainiac. And then maybe if you have the opportunity and decide to go to college or onto a job or to ever, wherever you may go, because you have that in your heart, it was trained well, your parents did the best they could, you responded the best you could, God's grace, your life will be full. And it will have good days. So as we are reflecting and thinking now, children, those who are of age, we are living in a home under the authority of your parents. Those of us who have parents, and maybe we're out of their home, and we're wondering how have we honored them and how to honor them. And for all of you today who would call yourself a child of God by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ, as we chew and meditate, digest this one verse and its sister verse, obey. Obey. Continue to come under it with a heart and ears to listen, to understand, and apply. Your heavenly parent, your earthly authorities, your earthly parents, and watch and see God's promise fulfilled. Some things, watch the course of the direction of your life and your heart and your relationships, maybe begin to adjust. Because the first start is, oh God, forgive me. I've missed the mark. Lord, I missed it raising my kids. Lord, I missed it being under my parents. I'm missing it in honoring my older parents. Whatever that situation might be. I missed it with the boss. I missed it with the teachers. Get on that email highway. Write that letter. Get on that telephone and say, forgive me. I blew it with you. I did not follow God and yield to God. But today, his word has corrected me. and has led me to a path that I need to come to you and say, I am sorry, forgive me, have mercy on me. And whether they receive that or not, you have honored God. You've obeyed him. So it will begin to go well with you because you obeyed him. It's not dependent on how others respond, but I bet you will help them release something in them. Can we say that? Can we do that? I trust that we can. And if you're here today and Almighty God is not your Father, you don't know him well. You don't know his unconditional love. You don't know why he sent Jesus, though as yet you are still a sinner, a rebellious heart. He sent Jesus to the cross to pay a penalty you could never pay back for your rebellion. And he gave his life for you because it's a heavy penalty, a perfect sacrifice, a perfect life for our rebellion against a perfect God. I couldn't pay it. You can't pay it. Jesus paid it. Will you believe that? Oh, if you will believe that, stake your life on that reality, on that truth. That's why he came 2,000 years ago. You will be reconciled with God. You could be 500 miles from him, but you're here in this place today, maybe for that very purpose, to become a child of God, something that he does, that he is calling you. And you just say, yes, Lord, is this possible? Forgive me, Jesus, save me. It happens in a moment. That is brought back, that 500-mile journey. You're brought back, and right now, in that moment, in your heart, he places his seal of identification. You are my child now. I have birthed you. I've put my spiritual DNA in you. You and I are good because of what Jesus did. And he says, now today, as you move forward in this relationship, I have much to tell you, much to help you in, much to show you. Trust me and walk with me and find somebody in this room or in another room who calls Jesus Lord, and they'll help you. Because where you have begun today, they have begun at some point. Oh, that's who we would be as his children today. I'm going to pray to that end. Would you join me, Lord, as we come to you and as we dissect and have regurgitated and swallowed this one special verse, we thank you for it. Where would we be? How would we know how to live as children to parents who are imperfect? Where would we start as parents who know we're imperfect and how to raise our kids and how to do it well? Thank you for your word. It is profitable to first and foremost share with us redemption, salvation, how we can be right with you and how to live for you. And then it tells us internally in our own heart how now that vertical relationship with you is solid and is at peace, how we can be at peace with one another. Thank you for teaching us today. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking some of us today. Thank you for correcting us, showing us the way to get right today. And for many in the room, thank you for the fortified instruction that helps them to be trained and continue on the good work that they have already begun because of your help, because of your fatherly advice, and because of the grace you put in their heart to obey you and as they raise their children. Oh, Lord, that we may be that place where pretense is gone, hypocrisy is washed. We're imperfect. Anybody who's a parent, anyone who's a child. Oh, but Lord, to walk alongside each other, learning these things, helping each other, teaching and admonishing with the scripture these things will be well pleasing to you. And we will experience your grace and your favor. And Lord, your kingdom will expand because people will see and they will notice. And we can't take credit for that. We'll say, oh, God is good. His word is true. His principles are alive. And therefore, today, I'll help you understand them. I'll pray with you and for you, encourage you to follow them. Well, let us be such a people. I think we are. May we continue to be such a people. And Lord, for the one, for the dozen, for whoever's here today, maybe today is a day that message of your grace and your love, a Father's heavenly love. Oh, you're after us, God. How you're after us. Oh, you're pursuing us, God, but not with a big stick. No, somebody else took the big stick on his back and his flesh was ripped off. You're after us with a message of grace and of love and of redemption. And you're calling for us, whether we're 8 or 80, to surrender. to that truth and be willing to turn from the mess, from the burdens, from whatever we've been hiding behind, from ever what have been pursuing, and turning to one, offering nothing except gratitude and belief. I believe you. I'm thankful for you. Save me. Well, that we might walk with them and encourage them. In your precious, mighty, and favorable name we pray. Jesus.